See the rail above it?
Ryan looked back, seeing that the armorer was right. The angle in the hall revealed the front door of the mansion and a flight of stairs. Ryan stood still and held up his hand.
Be quiet a moment.
All of the outer windows had the impenetrable shutters bolted over them, making it impossible to see out. But the patterned glass in the front door of the house was clear, showing bright sunlight. The light streamed through the stylized stained glass, with a picture of waves of cherry tree blossom and a long-legged stork with a fan of feathers in its tail.
Should check upstairs.
Ryan was at the bottom of the wide flight of uncarpeted stairs. He stooped to look at them, running his finger through a layer of reddish dust.
No need, Jack. Nobody's been up or down in a good few days.
Or months. As a great man once said, you don't have to worry about dusting after 5 years, since the dust gets no thicker.
What great man?
I forget.
I know. For once, Doc's actually telling the truth. It was an amazing person called Quentin Crisp, a gay Englishman and style guru. Used to live in New York.
Enough chat.
There was another little Buddhist shrine just inside the door, with its own clump of smoking incense sticks tucked into a pierced copper bowl, musk-flavored this time, and a tiny bronze model of a grasshopper.
Are we really going to be in Japan when you open that door, lover? You sure this isn't all some kind of a jump dream?
If it is but a dream, madam, then it is a dream which we all share.
Ryan took the doorknob and turned it slowly. He brought his good eye to the crack and checked outside.
Looks like we're on top of a hill. Fire blast. The air doesn't taste all that clean.
You know, that's a sort of familiar stink. Like L.A. on a hot, smoggy afternoon when the air turns orange and your eyes sting and your breath catches in your throat. Sort of polluted smell. All my time in Deathlands, I never did smell anything like that before.
Ryan blinked again, feeling a sharp prickling behind his right eye.
A formal garden that could do with weeding. Lots of stones as well.
He felt more secure now that there was no sign of human life outside.
Trees. Pine and some little apple and plums. A few big oaks and I don't know what that sort of weepy tree is.
Cypress. And those are azaleas behind the dry fountain.
A rectangular area of raked gravel was covered with dead leaves and patterns of larger stones, some of them as large as a man's head.
I believe that's a Zen garden, though certainly a little neglected.
Can't see anything beyond the trees and bushes. Doesn't make it much better. Definitely a nasty sort of haze in the air.
Ryan finally stepped out, finding himself on a narrow porch that ran the whole considerable length of the front of the house. All the windows along that flank of the property were concealed by shutters, and when Ryan stepped down onto the garden path, he was able to look back and up and see that all the second-floor windows were also sec-shuttered. He also noticed that there had once been a flagpole fitted above the door. The wind, weather, and time had contrived together to remove it.
I bet your fedora full of fresh minted jack that this place used to be some kind of official U.S. residence. An old glory must have flown from up there. See where the pole used to be fixed?
Makes sense.
J.B. took off his spectacles and rubbed at his eyes with a linen kerchief.
This air sure stings.
I believe that Japan, in the last years of pre-dark, was one of the most polluted places on the face of this noble planet. Industry ran rampant. Asthma and all manner of respiratory ailments plagued a significant section of the population. But enough of this merry persiflage, my friends.
What's persiflage, Doc?
Raillery and jolly banter, my sweet ice-topped youth. Not all that appropriate, considering our somewhat powerless position here, I fear.
Ryan started to walk away from the house, his Sig Sauer still cocked in his right hand. The dry fountain had a dead animal in it. What looked like a muddy rat, with unusually floppy ears and a feathery tuft on the end of its extremely long tail. The statue at the center of the moss-crusted stone bowl was a kneeling woman in a flowing gown, covered in pale green verdigris.
Come on, people. Let's keep it on double red for a while.
The tumbled remains of what might have been a watchtower stood in a corner of the garden, up against a high wall of creamy stone, with residual loops of razored wire laid along its top.
Quite a fortress.
Ryan turned back to gaze once more at the big house. There was something about the design that was definitely not American, something in the angle of the peaks of the roof and the shape of the windows. At the end of the driveway was a pair of double gates, at least 25 feet high and 40 feet wide. They were made of wrought iron, the gaps filled with corroded sextile panels. Sharp spikes were set along the top. Ryan looked at the formidable obstacle, thinking how appropriate JB's comment had been. The place really had been a fortress.
Something's going down, lover.
What? Danger?
There's people around. Quite a few of them. Close to us. Not sure whether they're a threat.
Might I proffer a suggestion?
Yeah.
Ryan's fingers hesitantly reached out for the ornate handle of the gate.
Dear John Barrymore hasn't yet utilized his miniature sextant. It might be of some assistance to know for certain where we are, might it not?
I guess so. JB, give it a try.
The sun was smiling down from a sky of almost unsullied blue, with just a few tiny wisps of pinkish cloud gathering at the far north. The armorer reached into one of his many deep pockets and plucked out the little scientific instrument. Built in pre-dark times, it was of a degree of technical sophistication that would now be impossible to reproduce. He aimed the device at the sun.
Tell you one thing, we're not in Deathlands. Reading's about 132 by 35. Near as I can recall from the old world maps, that definitely puts us the other side of the Pacific Ocean.
Japan, John?
Probably. Yeah, close as I can tell, but I don't have the least idea where precisely we've ended up.
There was a lot of political tension between us and the Japanese in the last few years before Skydark. Trade wars at a high level, as well as threats about tariffs and boycotts and cutting off supplies and aid. I don't think the sores of the Second World War and the atom bombs had ever really been properly healed.
But they started it at Pearl Harbor. They only got what they deserved.
I'm not sure it was quite as clear-cut as that, J.B. I remember reading magazine articles saying we didn't need to drop the bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. The Japanese were ready to quit.
On the far side of the set gates, it was possible to see the tops of some slender conifers. Ryan reached for the gate again. He looked through the gap. They were on top of a steepish hill, the road winding away, lined with a dark mass of pines. The others joined Ryan.
Lovely view.
Suddenly, two unusually long arrows landed in the turf right in front of the companions.
Halt, Gaijin!
Shit. Nobody move. It got us cold.
Might only be two of them.
Jack dropped into a shootist's crouch, his red eyes darting around the blank walls of the forest.
Might be 200. Best wait and see before we commit suicide.
Oh, Gaijin! We wish you to accept the hospitality of our Lord Mashashiga.
JB's finger was white on the trigger of his Uzi.
What's he calling us?
Gaijin means a foreigner, an outlander.
How come you by such esoteric knowledge, madam? Is there no end to your wisdom?
I shared a room at med school with a Japanese woman, Suki Hokushani. Her father was a baseball ace. She taught me a few words. Gaijin was what she used to call me when I did something she thought was stupid.
Doc turned and walked a couple of paces toward the half-open gates.
Halt!
Two more of the long feathered shafts stuck in the ground before Doc.
Oh, upon my soul, they nearly kebobbed me. Dangerous fellows, these samurai.
I said to stand still. Make a wrong move and it's pincushion time all around.
I have not heard any reply to let us know whether you wish to encounter the hospitality of our Lord Mashashiga, or whether you wish to take the dark journey to meet up with the spirits of your ancestors.
He means to kill us.
Yeah, I caught that.
Ryan looked to both sides, shaking his head at the hopelessness of the situation. The hidden archers could almost certainly kill them all without once showing themselves.
You got any good Japanese words to accept their kind offer, Mildred?
Afraid not. All I know is that they wrap things up a lot when they speak. Sort of flowery.
What does the Kokojin woman say? She should keep silent. This is the business of men, of warriors. Tell her, One Eye.
Ryan turned to face Mildred.
Kokojin mean what I think?
Yeah. They got a special word for us black folks, Ryan.
Well, since they got the drop on us, I guess we better do like they say. Sorry about this.
Rage ahead, boss.
Mildred lowered her head submissively.
I could take it.
Ryan pointed a finger at her.
You must keep quiet when men speak, Mildred, or I will have to sternly discipline you.
Promises, promises.
Ryan managed not to smile.
We will be pleased to accept the kind offer of your baron, Mashashiga. Will you show yourselves to us?
He was waiting for the hidden enemy to order them to lay their guns in the dirt, and was trying to think up some convincing arguments for not complying.
Your guns interest us, Gaijin.
Yeah?
When we reach the The fortress of my master.